Hello and welcome again to the Matthew James Medium Hour. In this hour, I want to discuss the psychic senses, types of mediumship, and also the pineal gland. We're going to have our usual music. We're going to have our usual chat room shout outs and any other questions that actually appear on Facebook or in the chat room. So welcome to the show, everyone. And here's a little bit of Santana. Thank you. Hello, my name is Matthew James, and welcome to the Matthew James Medium Hour. What I'm actually going to be doing on this particular show is doing a few intensive mediumship training tuitions and a little bit of conversation really on what the psychic senses are and types of mediumship. And at any point anyone listening wishes to jump in and go into the chat room and start asking some questions themselves regarding these matters, I'll willingly answer these questions. Now, I'm also going to discuss the pineal gland as well, how the pineal gland functions, and just various items on the pineal gland, because it has been requested. It is a question that has been asked, and I will feature this in the show. Now, anybody who doesn't know who Matthew James is, anybody who's listening to this radio show for the very first time, if you are in, say, the US, or you're in the UK, or you're in Holland, or you're in India, or wherever you are listening to at the moment, and you're listening for the very first time, go over to my website, which is www.matthewjamesmedium.com, and have a look at me over there. I am available for distance readings if you're not in Australia, or you're you are not in the ACT of the Canberra area. I do Skype, I do phone readings, I do absent readings and video readings. That is all available. The information is available on the website. Now, I've also got a public figure page, which on Facebook is MJ Medium. If you put MJ Medium, all capital letters in, you come over to the public figure page. And currently on the public figure page is I'm posing some ESP development questions using ESP cards. And it's just a follow-on from last month where I was doing some remote viewing exercises. So there's always something going on the Matthew James Medium page on Facebook. So I'm coming over, like the page, and join in. It is fun. We are a happy community on there, so you're more than welcome to come over and join in. I just want to say a few shout-outs on the chat room. I want to say hi to Chris. I want to say hi to Fiona. I want to say hi to Narelle. Hi, Jane, Patty, Simone, Vicky. I want to say hi to everybody in there. And I'm not actually seeing so many questions at the moment being put in there. I'm seeing somebody asking, Jane is asking about her daughter. There's a bit of a numerology reading being requested in there. I will get round to that, I promise you, Jane. Everybody who's listened to the show before knows that this hour goes crazily quick. So I know I've had a few prompts to actually be a little bit quicker this week and to get on with things. Before I do actually start, I want to actually just mention the Perth Conscious Living Expo that I'm going to be attending with Psychic TV. I'm going to be on Psychic TV stand, which is number P15. The Perth Conscious Living Expo is at the Claremont Showgrounds in Claremont in Perth. And it's actually from the 17th, which is Thursday the 17th of October, all the way through to the 20th of October. And I will be available for one-to-one readings at the stall, at the stand, along with the fantastic Amanda Hall. We're both going to be attending there. There's also going to be a live show on the, I believe it's the Friday and on the Sunday as well. I'm going to be doing live audience readings. There's going to be joining me on stage, going to be Amanda Hall, and there's also going to be Francis Bevan, and I'm going to be doing live mediumship readings. I'm going to be there in front of the audience, bearing my soul, risking it all in front of a live audience, something that I really enjoy doing. For everyone listening in the US, the audience readings are what you call the gallery readings. A little bit like Lisa Williams or John Edwards or even Colin Fry. I do exactly the same sort of thing. I do it slightly my own way. I do tend to put a bit of a jester's hat on and have a laugh and a joke with you guys and with Spirit as well. So anyone in Perth, please come over. Please say hi at the stall and please come in the audience. You might get a reading from me. Now, what I want to actually do is I've got my what I call my residential intensive mediumship training notes in front of me. It's one of the IMT workshops that I do actually do. And I just want to just discuss the psychic senses first of all. I want to lead that then into mediumship, and I want to lead it into the pineal gland, because I've got all sorts of information on the pineal gland that I want to discuss with you. And I will, I'm pretty sure this will be interesting information. My apologies to anyone who's heard this kind of information before. It's just that I've got to start somewhere with the IMT section of this particular show. And I thought what I would do is start right at the basics, what the psychic senses are. Now, the psychic senses are effectively a higher vibrational state of mind, I suppose, where we've got the five human senses. We've got our five sensory reality. We've got taste, we've got touch, we've got smell, we've got hearing, we've got sight. So there are psychic senses that correspond with those five senses, but at a slightly higher vibration and a slightly higher purpose. The classic one that everybody will have heard of is clairvoyance. Now, clairvoyance is basically clear seeing. It's basically the ability to see anything that is not physically present. It's basically the mind's eye. It is effectively the pineal gland and the pituitary gland that creates this imagery. And we'll go into the pineal gland a little bit further. But it is the classic thing. Everybody has heard of a clairvoyant. Many people have gone to a clairvoyant for messages. And the clairvoyant is basically the individual who can see the past, the present, the future. When you use your clear seeing, the beautiful thing about it is in the present day, a true clairvoyant will see a person's problem. They will see the problem. They will see what is actually occurring, that person's problem. They're able to reach into the past and effectively see what caused the problem, what was the cause of it, what led up to it, what the state of mind was, and able to take their client back to that point to effectively, or it's almost a point of doing a little bit of hypnotherapy, or you're able to actually connect that person to those moments before the particular situation took hold, then able to effectively go into the future and offer the solution. So you're basically straddling the past, the present, and the future as a clairvoyant. So a clairvoyance is pretty much the fortune-telling side of things. It's where you're making a prediction that such and such a thing is going to happen. You're going to be getting that job. You're going to be getting that job in March. You're going to be finishing that relationship in April. You're going to be meeting the man of your dreams in 6 months. Those are classic, predictions made by a clairvoyant and using clairvoyance. That's clear seeing. The next one is clairaudience, which is clear hearing. Now, this has not got to be confused with the direct voice. And this is my stumbling block for quite a few years. I didn't think I was clairaudient because I associated clairaudience with the external voice, where you're expecting to hear voices pretty much like Doris Stokes used to get it. She used to get direct voice, meaning the spirit is somewhere in the room with you and you clearly hear them speaking to you and you hear them audibly with your ear. That isn't clairaudience. That's actual physical mediumship. We'll get into physical mediumship shortly. Clairaudience is the inner voice, the inner hearing, the clear hearing. Generally, it's your own voice. It's your own voices in your mind. It's your own mind's voice. This is why, at times, clairaudience is the most difficult of the clair senses to actually master and control, because we generally, as clairaudience, doubt in the early days that what we're hearing is external to ourselves. How many of you out there are hearing an inner dialogue without actually realizing that it is it's clairaudience? This is the thing, because it's your own thoughts, it's your own feelings, it's your own input, basically. And it is one of the hardest ones to actually master, but it is one of the most accurate and consistent forms of psychic senses, because direct voice is not necessarily there all the time, and clairaudience is something that is there all the time. My apologies to everyone, just to break off. The chat room shut down. It is a traditional thing that 10 minutes into the show, the chat room shuts down. So apologies for that. So, yeah, the clairaudience is basically all about the inner voice. It's usually in your own accent. It's usually your own thoughts, like I say. And the only way to really work with clairaudience is to employ something I call mindfulness or mind clearing. It's all about listening to that inner dialogue. And the beautiful thing about clairaudience is that when clairaudience does actually kick in, the amazing thing is that the thoughts take on a mind of their own. They take on a direction of their own. You are not controlling those thoughts. That's the scenario here. It just happens. It just clicks into gear. So that's clairaudience. There's two basic clairs that are associated with the heart and associated with the feeling and the sensing side, which is the heart. This is the sense of touch. The sense of touch, like we have two hands, the sense of touch has two clairs. There's clairsentience and there's clairsentience, and they are basically two separate things. Clairsentience, which is spelt with clair, C-L-A-I-R, S-E-N-T-I-E-N-C-E. Clairsentience is clear sensing. Now, clear sensing is an ability to have an impression of what a spirit wants to communicate, or you actually feel the sensations instilled by a spirit. So you might pick up the anger of a father, or you might pick up the sadness of the mother who's passed, or you might pick up the shyness of a father, for example. This is clear sensing. You're sensing it. You're sensing the person's there, and you're sensing basically that there is a spirit there wanting to communicate. The thing also about clear sensing is this is the instinct where you know it's a mother or it's a father or it's a grandfather. That's the sense that kicks in, and you get a sense of who the relation is or what the relationship is to the person that you are doing the reading for. We then have clairsentience, which is spelled S-E-N-T-I-N-E-N-C-E, which is clear feeling. So you've got clear sensing and clear feeling. And clear feeling is basically the condition where the medium gets the ailment of the spirit. You feel the same physical problem which the spirit person had before death or during their life. So this is where I basically will get the heart attack, or I will get the sense that the person had diabetes or that they had a brain tumor. It's often very, very, very painful, is the clear feeling sense, because you are effectively being the body for the spirit that is coming through. The scenario here is that what actually happened with me was I made an agreement in meditation that there'd be a lot of spirits that didn't necessarily want to come through because it was too painful to remember coming through onto the earth plane. So I kind of made this agreement of, okay, I'll feel their pain then. They can drop their conditions on me. They can stand next to me completely pain-free, and I can use their conditions as a validation for my client that I've got the father or the mother or the grandfather, etc. Believe me, don't make that agreement. If anybody gets approached in a meditation or gets approached by somebody in the spirit realms to be a clairsentient and feel the conditions that the spooks had, don't do it. Because, prime example, today I was having a lot of sinus problems. I was walking around the supermarket and I'm thinking, oh, I've got a sinus problem. My sinus on my left-hand side was unbearably, it was painful, it was unbearable. And it turned out that the lady that came to me for a reading this afternoon, her grandfather died of a cancer condition, or died of a condition that was in the sinus on the left-hand side. Another example, in a recent reading, I had an almighty pain. This is actually on Psychic TV, and I know Chris, when she was watching the show, she was seeing me actually react in the booth. I had an almighty pain on my left-hand side, on my left shoulder, and I was reacting to it. I was in awful pain. And I knew it had been, it was a pulmonary embolism. And because that's what it felt like. Not that I've ever had a pulmonary embolism, but it's just, it wasn't a heart attack. It was something much more sinister. The client on the phone, it was actually her father. Her father has actually died of a pulmonary embolism, and it was actually starting in the left shoulder. So that was just two prime examples of just how blooming painful Claire's sentience can be. Now, there's another Claire. I'm going to take them out of order because the most important Claire, as far as I'm concerned, is the clear knowing. The clear knowing, which is the clear cognizance. It's the clear knowing. It's that gut instinct. It's that thing that you ladies have. You're born with this instinct. You know when the son or the husband or the father is lying. You just know. You've got that gut instinct. Or you just know that the phone's going to ring and such a person's going to call. Or you know that such and such a letter's going to come and such a thing's going to happen. Or when you know that the lottery, you're going to win the lottery, or lottery numbers are going to come up. That's known as clear knowing. Now, it's one of my pet things. I call it the fail-safe device. And in a lot of my intensive mediumship training, I stress this as the most important clair to develop. And I basically train people to develop their body as effectively a tuning fork or as a pendulum. And what you do is you judge, you get inside your head a statement that you know is true, like, my name's Matthew. Right, so in a meditative state, you'd say in your mind, my name is Matthew. You'd then get a response from your body, which you develop as your truth, as your fail-safe. That's a true connection. You would then say a statement that is completely false. For example, I don't know, Sydney is in the state of South Australia. That's a classic one for us Aussies. You would get a no reaction from your body. And it's all about developing the claircognizance. I'm just mentioning this in passing, but claircognizance is very important. It's very important. A medium needs to have claircognizance to know that a connection or a message they're receiving is right or wrong. For me, when I get a connection, and I know the connection is correct, I get this wonderful, warm, buzzy kind of euphoric feeling. It's hard to explain. It's just a euphoric feeling. When I know a connection is false or wrong, I get a sickly, stomachy feeling. I get a feeling basically in my gut that I know is the wrong answer. It is completely the wrong answer. So that's claircognizance. Now, there are two other clairs that I want to actually bring in. I want to actually mention these. This clear smelling and this clear tasting. Now, clear smelling is known as clairalliance. And how many of you will be on your own in a room and suddenly you get a smell of tobacco? Or you get a smell of your grandmother's perfume, or you get the smell of your grandfather's aftershave, or you get the smell of cigarette smoke, and you're the only one in the room. That is clairalliance. That is very much clairalliance, which is the clear smelling, which is linked to the nose, which is the sense of smell. The sense of taste, clear tasting, is clairgustance. And this actually happens in readings with me where I'll get a sense of what a person's favourite wine was, for example, or what a person's favourite food was. I mean, in a reading yesterday, I'd got somebody's father through. I very much got a person's father through. And straight away, I'm I'm tasting a white meat, a white fish meat, and I also then had this this taste of lemon as well. And I basically turned round to my lady client and I said, your father, I know he was a chef, I know he had a cafeteria, but he was saying that he used to cook this most perfect white fish in a lemon sauce and it was his favourite meal. And the lady just nodded to me and she said, oh yes, he liked to do snapper in a lemon sauce. I said, and then he's going on about your baking and he's tasting the crunchy almonds that you used to have in your biscuits. And the woman nodded and she said, he always loved my almond biscuits. Yes, because I was tasting the almond. I was actually getting the taste of the almond. That is the clear tasting, the clear gustance. Now, those are the five psychic senses. What I want to just do is take a quick, well, I want to take a music break because round about half eight, I always take a music break around about this point in the show so I can have a bit of a breather. I can then just come back in about 10 minutes' time. So I'm going to put on a couple of classic Scorpions tracks. I want to put the first one on, which is The Best Is Yet To Come, which is one of our personal favourites, me and Chris. And I also want to then put on Love Will Keep Us Alive, which is another upbeat Scorpions. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. I'll then go into types of mediumship. Unless there are questions in the chat room or on Facebook that take me in another direction. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Across the desert plain, where nothing dares to grow, I taught you how to sing, you taught me everything I know. And though the night is young, and we don't know if we live to see the sun, the best is yet to come. I know, you know, that we all high and low, and how can I live without you? You're such a part of me, and you've always been the one keeping me forever young, and the best. Don't just never die. The only thing yet to come.
Matthew James, a medium hour. For more information on myself, Matthew James, please go over to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. For further information on the intensive training that I do, intensive mediumship training and self-development, the 1 hour tuitions, the Skype distance training that I do, go over to www.imtworkshops.com. That's www.imtworkshops.com for further information. Now, we've been talking about the psychic senses, and we've covered the classic five psychic senses. Now, they actually come under the banner of mental mediumship. Mental in that it's not that we're head cases, not that we're in the, we should be in the loony bin like a lot of skeptics think of us, but in the sense that mental mediumship is, it's in the mind. It's a communication by the spirit world with a medium by way of telepathy. It's direct thought, it's telepathy. Now, what it actually means is the medium mentally hears, which is clairaudience. The medium mentally sees, which is clairvoyance. And then the medium feels or senses messages from spirit from using clairsentience or clairsentience. Now, it will also receive the smells and the taste, because what is actually happening is the signal is coming to the medium from beyond the five sensory reality. The brain, pardon me, can only understand things in terms of a five sensory reality. So the information comes into the mind. The mind and the brain processes this information from spirit in the form that we understand in this world. So basically, the medium will pass on the information to the recipient of the message, i.e. the client, and the term medium means intermediary, mediator, person in the middle, the telephone. The best way of looking at it is that imagine that you're on Skype, right? And you can see me, but I can't see you, right? I did an IMT session yesterday, and my client could see me, but I couldn't see my client. All I could actually hear was my client's voice. And I put it to my client that this is pretty much like the standard connection with spirit, right? The voice at the other end, that I could hear my client's voice, but I couldn't see her. That's very much like getting the information internally, mentally. So from my side of things, I can hear the information clairaudiently. But from the spirit side, which was my client could see me on her computer screen. It's pretty much like the endeavor here with spirit. Spirit can see us, but we can't see them. That's the simple analogy. Just imagine that you're having a Skype conversation, and you can actually hear spirit through your headphones, pretty much like you would with a client, but you can't see them, but they can see you. That's one analogy that I actually put forward yesterday. My client understood it perfectly. So mental mediumship is of the mind. We then have the direct voice communication that I mentioned before, which is a form of physical mediumship. Now, physical mediumship is defined as the manipulation of energies and energy systems by spirit. So physical mediumship can involve things like lab rats, noises, voices, materialized objects, apports, spirit bodies, body parts. It's anything where spirit influences the physical plane. So if you get the loud rap, you get the loud noise, that can actually be spirit. So if you get external noise, and basically there is no explanation for it, like a door is suddenly slammed open or shut and there's no wind, that is physical mediumship. If you suddenly get, I've actually had this happen to me. I've had fountain pens momentarily appear in front of me. I've had medallions momentarily appear in front of me. I've had signet rings momentarily appear in front of me. And they've been there, and I've been describing them. And my client's gone, that's my grandfather's signet ring. That was my husband's fountain pen. That's physical mediumship, because it's actually affecting the physical plane. When you do a seance and there is the table rapping, or is the table lifting, or there is the ectoplasm, or there is, we use spirit bells, or you get some kind of physical influence on the earth plane, that's physical mediumship. There's also another form of physical mediumship, which is called transfiguration. And transfiguration is pretty much the experiment where the medium goes into a form of trance. They sit in a wooden box that's got a red light at the back, and they sit in front of their audience, and their audience can actually see the face change. That's what transfiguration means. You take on the characteristics of a departed soul. The departed soul basically overshadows you, and you are able, people are able to actually see this overshadowing. I've done a lot of physical mediumship. The best way to explain how it feels, you close your eyes when you know, you go into a simple trance, and there's a feeling. First of all, what happens? You get a almost a spider's web on your face, and your face seems to almost be set in concrete. It's almost like your face is solidifying. You then get a sensation of almost a spiraling round, or having an out of body. And for me, I always would find myself to the left or the right of my own physical body, aware of my body, but also aware of the people around me. People would then start seeing my face change, my eyes going out of the sockets and other people's eyes coming in, or me growing facial hair, or my hairline receding, or glasses suddenly appearing, or various other attributes. And 90% of the time, these attributes people would recognize as something from one of their loved ones. So that's physical mediumship quickly. And the other form is known as trance mediumship. Now, this is often seen as a form of mental mediumship, because most trance mediums remain conscious during a communication period. Within that communication period, a spirit uses the medium's mind to communicate. A spirit or spirits using the medium's mind will influence that mind with their thoughts being conveyed. Now, that's trance mediumship. It's a form of mental mediumship. You basically, your thoughts become their thoughts, or their thoughts become your thoughts. And in that altered state of consciousness, or this trance, you then effectively become the channel, or you become the person, you become that spirit. And effectively what you've got to do is you've got to go with this altered state of consciousness, and you have got to actually pass what you get on implicitly. So that's trance mediumship. I just wanted to cover these very briefly. I just wanted to differentiate the difference between the forms of mediumship and also the psychic senses. And obviously, mediumship, a medium will employ not necessarily just clairvoyance. Mind you, some people are just overtly clairvoyant. For me personally, I have a combination of clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairalliance, clairgustance. I have a combination, and it differs each reading because it's relying on the person who's communicating with you. You might just get somebody on the other side that only knows how to convey how they were feeling. Or they might only be able to talk to you like through clear hearing. So I might only get a clairaudient connection, or I might get a clairsentient, clairaudient, and clairgustance connection, or I might just get a clairvoyant connection. You never know, or I never know from reading to reading exactly what psychic senses are going to be employed. So I can't say I'm purely clairvoyant. I can't say I'm purely clairaudient, because I employ all the senses, but not necessarily all the time. So that's basically wraps up the mediumship and the psychic senses. I will probably talk about this more in depth at a later time. I want to actually I want to go into this a lot further. I want to nail it down a little bit more. This is just part of the introduction of the intensive mediumship training notes. It's just basically the taster. Now, what I want to quickly go on to, because we've got about 10 minutes left, is the pineal gland. I know people were asking me about the pineal gland. Now, the pineal gland is effectively a very important organ. It's situated in the center of the brain. It hangs almost in the center of the brain, and it is crystalline, and it's almost like a bit like a mirror or a glass, and it is effectively why it looks like the pine cone that a lot of religions use to actually symbolize the pineal gland. It's effectively an antenna to our higher selves. And effectively, it allows us access to higher perceptions, and it connects us to the divine. It actually links us to the spirit world. It links us to the higher dimensions. And when it's actually functioning correctly, it is effectively the trigger for the right brain. When the pineal gland is open and functioning, we exist in the now state. We are always in the now. We don't have the past, and we don't have the future with the pineal gland, because the pineal gland is effectively the spirit's eyes. It's the spiritual self. This is why it is so important in spiritual development, and this is why it's called the third eye. Now, there is an argument whether it's the pineal gland or it's the pituitary gland that is the third eye, but from personal experience, I believe it is the pineal gland that is the most important thing. Now, I must stress, it is an antenna. It does receive and transmit information. The pineal gland is activated by light. It works with light energy. The way spirit communicate when it comes into the brain is light energy. We receive and transmit light energy of a frequency that is higher than our own reality. And there is definitely a connection between the pineal gland and spiritual awakening and solar quality. Whenever there is an increase in the sun's activity, you'll find that the pineal gland will take a lot of energy in. There's a lot of people out there who are light sensitive, and they will feel a pulling round about the center of the brow. When we are taking a lot of light in, the pineal gland is absorbing light through the skin. And what it actually does, it feeds that light energy into our biochemical system, which is known as the endocrine system. And it is the feeder. We actually live off light energy. I know we eat food, and I know we have been programmed that our physical body needs food, but the pineal gland exists on light energy. And things like fluoride in our food, the aspartame, all the suppressants that they put in the food, all the toxins, the mobile phones, the Wi-Fi signals, the digital TVs, they are all whether by deliberate means or it's just pure chance, attack the pineal gland. And by attacking the pineal gland, these forces, whoever or whatever they are, they've got the intention behind these toxins, are trying to change or affect our perception of this reality. With a closed pineal gland or a calcified pineal gland, we are in survival mode. We're in fear mode. We're in left brain. We are basically locked into this reality, and we basically can't see anything beyond this reality. With a fully functioning pineal gland, we get a tremendous sense of where we are in the universe, who we truly are, and what life is all about. So it's really important that we eat the right foods, and we have the right lifestyle to completely feed the pineal gland. Okay, so how long have I got? I've got about 7 minutes. I've got plenty of time to continue a little bit more. The pineal gland is responsible for vital brain chemicals such as melatonin. Now, melatonin is good for anti-aging. It's good for immune boosting, and it has antioxidant qualities. It also promotes healthy sleep patterns. So when you've got a calcified or you've got a damaged pineal gland, too much fluoride, too much aspartame, too much caffeine will actually disrupt the sleeping patterns. Also, melatonin protects us from electromagnetic pollution. So when you've got a functioning pineal gland, all these EMF fields that we're in, anybody who's listening to this will be in an EMF field. Anyone who's got Wi-Fi will actually be in an EMF field. When people begin to actually top their melatonin up, they get an increased feeling of empathy, and they have better harmonious relationships, they're more at peace, they're in a more stable state of mind. People who haven't got enough melatonin, i.e. their pineal gland isn't producing enough, will be irritable, they will have disrupted sleep patterns, they'll find that they've got a low immune system, the sleep patterns are absolutely lousy. So that's melatonin. There's also pinealine. Now, pinealine is actually very important as a neurotransmitter. This basically makes sure that we receive and transmit the signals in our body a lot more effectively. There's also DMT as well. The pineal gland actually produces DMT, which operates as a neurotransmitter to the brain. And it's actually necessary for optimal brain function. And the pineal gland will actually produce the DMT. Now, if we are low on melatonin, pinealine, and DMT, we will actually start getting ourselves locked more and more into the reality, into the matrix reality that forces out there really want us to be part of. They don't want us having a functioning pineal gland. They don't want us spiritual. They don't want this spiritual awareness that we all have by right, because the pineal gland connects us to our true self. The pineal gland connects us basically to the truth vibration. It connects us to the spirit world. Shut the pineal gland down, and those connections are broken. Now, there are many, many things that are actually being pumped into our foods and into our water supply that is working against the health of our pineal gland. There's mercury. Mercury is in fillings. It's a pineal toxin. Most medical vaccines are also mercury tainted. So basically, anything that has mercury in it, know that mercury is going to make its way to your pineal gland and is going to start damaging your pineal gland. The problem with mercury is it's an accumulator. The body will not absorb mercury. So the amounts of mercury will build and build and build and build, and it will actually, the mercury will actually accumulate within the pineal gland and effectively start shutting the pineal gland down. The classic one is the sodium fluoride, the fluoride. This is a heavy-duty poison. It's actually a rat poison. It was actually created as a byproduct of, I think it's the petrochemical industry. I can't quite remember where the fluoride was a byproduct, but it's in toothpaste and it's in tap water. And it calcifies the pineal tissue and it shuts the gland down. Now, alcohol, smoking also increase the damage to the pineal gland. Pesticides that are in food are pineal toxins. And all the toxins that are in our food supply, are in meats, are in vegetables. These are all being aimed at the pituitary gland and the pineal gland. Now, there's other toxins. I mean, obviously, there's aspartame. This is the when you see the sugar-free drinks when you see all these special drinks that are low-cal or they're all basically sugar-free, they contain aspartame. And aspartame is another form of pineal gland toxin. So is refined sugar. White sugar is exactly the same. E-numbers, exactly the same. Deodorants, dental mouthwashes, air fresheners, the phylloanine that's in squashes, in fruit drinks, that is another thing. Now, raw chocolate, believe it or not, is actually a pineal gland stimulant. Contrary to what people think, it's a detoxifier and it's a pineal gland stimulant. Many people are probably not even aware of that. Raw cocoa is a pineal gland stimulant. Now, I'm going to actually have to leave the show at this point. I have run out of time. Would you believe it? That is one quick hour. I've done non-stop talking apart from a music break, and we have got about 1 minute left. All I want to do is I now want to thank everybody for listening, wherever you are, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in the UK, whether you're in America, whether you're in Europe. Thank you so much for listening to the show. There will be another Matthew James Hour next week. I'm endeavouring to get a guest on next week, and I'm endeavouring to actually extend it to a two-hour show. And I've got a few names in the hat at the moment. So watch out on Facebook as to what's actually going to be happening with the Matthew James Medium Hour next week. I was due to do a Conversations with Spirit on Monday morning, Tuesday night, GMT, but I don't think we're actually going to be back in Canberra, so I might actually have to call quits on that particular show. So I'm going to thank everybody once again for tuning into the show. Until next week, my name is Matthew James, and thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, goodbye.